I'm reading from Colossians 1, verses 11 through 20. May you be made strong with all the strength which comes from his glorious power, so that you may be able to endure everything with patience. And with joy give thanks to the Father, who has made you fit to have your share of what God has reserved for his people in the kingdom of light. He rescued us from the power of darkness and brought us safe into the kingdom of his dear Son, by whom we are set free. That is, our sins are forgiven. Christ is the visible likeness of the invisible God. He is the firstborn Son, superior to all created things. For through him, God created everything in heaven and on earth, the seen and the unseen things, including spiritual powers, lords, rulers, and authorities. God created the whole universe through him and for him. Christ existed before all things, and in union with him, all things have their proper place. He is the head of his body, the church. He is the source of the body's life. He is the firstborn son who was raised from death in order that he alone might have the first place in all things. For it was by God's own decision that the son has in himself the full nature of God. Through the son, then, God decided to bring the whole universe back to himself. God made peace through his son's blood on the cross, and so brought back to himself all things, both on earth and in heaven.
Reading from Luke chapter 17, verses 11 through 19. As Jesus made his way to Jerusalem, he went along the border between Samaria and Galilee. He was going into a village when he was met by 10 men suffering from a dreaded skin disease. They stood at a distance and shouted, "Jesus, Master, have pity on us." Jesus saw them and said to them, "Go and let the priest examine you." On the way, they were made clean. When one of them saw that he was healed, he came back, praising God in a loud voice. He threw himself to the ground at Jesus' feet and thanked him. The man was a Samaritan. Jesus spoke up, "There were 10 who were healed. Where are the other 9? Why is this foreigner the only one who came back to give thanks to God?" And Jesus said to him, "Get up and go. Your faith has made you well." This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
There's a legend about two angels. Each day it is their work to fly to earth, each holding a basket empty when they arrived. They began going about the earth collecting prayers of the people. And the legend says at the end of the day, they take their baskets back to heaven and give those prayers to God. One day, one of the angels finally had to speak and said to the other, "When we return to heaven each evening, my basket is always filled and overflowing, and it's heavy and hard to manage. Your basket is almost empty. You must tell me why." The angel responded, "Well, you see, you are receiving the prayers of petition, the requests people are making that God do something for them. I receive only prayers of thanksgiving." That's certainly been true in my life. I'm ashamed of that reality, but it's a reality that most of the time I've prayed, I'm wanting God to do something. I'm seeking for God to fix something. God, are you going to provide? Some years ago, in I think Philadelphia, a radio personality named Art King had a radio show called Job Center of the Air. And on Saturday afternoon, for 90 minutes, he would run an occupational board, if you will. Employers would call in and say, "We have openings for 6 employees here, and The starting wage is blank, and if they wish to apply, this is how they do it. And employees or potential employees would call in saying, I want to be one of those who's considered. This radio show was able to last a full 11 years. And listen to this. It is estimated that 2,500 people, 2,500 people at least, became gainfully employed because of the work of Art King on this radio program. When he retired, he was asked from a very astute reporter, well, 2,500 plus people employed, how many of those have written you back or called in just to say, thanks, Art, you made this happen? He said, in the last 11 years, that's happened 9 times. If you go to the folks at the local post offices and ask them, do you get any of that mail directed to Santa during the month of December? They'll tell you, oh yeah, we get a lot of that. Santa letters, and it may just say Santa on the envelope, or it may say Santa, North Pole. But I'll wager, if you go to those same employees and ask them, in January and in February, do you get letters to Santa just to say thanks? Probably not. You see, I think, and I'm not sure, there is a built-in reluctance within us, within humanity, all of us, men and women, a reluctance to pile on thank yous. It seems to resist itself in our very nature. Consider the story you heard Pastor Paul read a few moments ago of Jesus and his disciples walking along in the border region between Galilee and Samaria. Now, everybody knew the Galileans, the Jews, and the Samaritans, they had nothing to do with each other. In fact, it would not be a stretch to say most often they detested one another. As they're walking along, 10 lepers, and for the children who are in the room, I want you to know that when I was your age, I thought the pastor was saying leopards. And I could just imagine the 10 of them coming out from their little community. 10 lepers suffering from this dread skin disease that's still around today, but not as rampant as it was. There is treatment today if they can get it. They come out and they beg Jesus to help them. Isn't it interesting? In the passage from Luke, it's very clear, in the 10, there were Galileans and Samaritans. People who in good health would never have coexisted, but now they have been forced to leave the towns they come from and move into what we call colonies, leper colonies, communities where they are away from the general population. It was so little understood what leprosy is and how it's contracted and what you do about it. But the towns made laws, not rules, laws that a leper could not come anywhere near the vicinity of that town. So out in the outer reaches, the families who remained in town would occasionally bring food and leave it on the outskirts, and the lepers would come up and get that food. And that's how they lived. A horrible existence. The only communication, the only fellowship, the only friendship, the only relationships they had were with other people suffering with leprosy. And isn't it interesting? Isn't it interesting that mutual misery causes our prejudices to go away? those people who in better times when they were healthy would not have spoken to one another now count on one another. Now fellowship inwardly with one another. They see Jesus and they go to him somehow knowing he can help them. How did they know Jesus could help them? How did these 10 come out of their colony and approach him and ask for mercy from him? Was it the way he carried himself? Maybe. Was it the look on his face? Perhaps. Though the scripture doesn't tell how, it is my suspicion that the Holy Spirit was at work in that event, and the Holy Spirit was working in those lepers to say, this one can make a difference. I think that may have been what was going on. This week I had an amazing conversation with Angela Presley. Angela and Mike used to attend this church, and as you know, they said, about 8 or 10 pews back. And they were there every Sunday, just like you, sitting where you usually sit. But Angela shared something about her journey that I didn't know. I did know that Angela had fought successfully a most virulent kind of cancer that really did threaten her life, but she was able to have victory over it. And for that, we thank God, don't we? But there's a part of that story I didn't know. You see, she went to her doctor. The tests were all run. She goes back, and she had already been told it didn't look like cancer to them. It looks like everything's going to be fine. And so she was shocked when she returned to her doctor to discover that in fact, not only was it cancer, it was one of the worst kinds. She remembers when she left that doctor's office that day alone, she was in a fog. She went in fine, she thought. She left broken. When she got in her car, she remembered that she had to go by the Walmart to pick up some prescriptions for her family. And so though her fog was great, the fact of the matter is she was able to go ahead and drive over to Walmart. She gets out feeling like a dead woman walking. She goes into Walmart to the pharmacy. She gets the prescription. She goes into her car. She drives home. She was so dumbfounded and devastated by this news that she said not a word to her family. 4 days went by, and she was battling this news alone. It was Sunday morning, and she and Mike came into the church. Mike knew she had been struggling, but she had not yet had the courage to say out loud what she was battling. Instead of coming to where they always sit, she said to Mike, "Let's sit in the back. As soon as it's over, I want to go home." Now, something happened between that event and Walmart that I had never heard. You see, she, the very next day, had a note in her mailbox from some woman she did not know. Some woman named Glenda Brinkley. I see the smiles. There you go. She did not even have the heart to open the envelope. Her strength was depleted. 2 days later, on Saturday, she opens the second letter that had been placed in her mailbox. She read it, and it was a letter saying, "I saw you at Walmart the other day, and you looked as though you were heavily burdened. I just want you to know I care. Glenda Brinkley." Angela was too beaten down to be inspired by Glenda's beautiful care. And the next morning, they're here in church. And as she's walking up the steps, she said, I prayed, Joe. I said, God, I don't know who this person is. If I'm ever going to meet him, it's up to you to arrange that. I don't have the energy. And instead of sitting where they always sit, they sat back there about where Gary Warren is. Right beside this woman who leaned over and said, Angela, I'm Glenda Brinkley. Angela did not know her and did not know that Glenda had already been fighting the cancer battle. Angela said she went on to become my best friend and confidant. Boy, what a best friend. How did Glenda know? I think the Holy Spirit is at work trying to convince us of what God is up to all the time. And when a person begins to really pay attention, it's not that God suddenly begins speaking, it's that we suddenly begin hearing. And Glenda knew, I need to reach out to this person. And it changed Angela's life. Glenda told me, she said, Joe, I've thanked God so many times for my cancer. And as you know, that cancer finally finished her body, never her spirit. She said, I've thanked God for it because it's opened so many doors and it's opened my mind. I see the whole world differently now. I learned from that, when you thank God, get ready because God is probably going to take your spirit of thanksgiving and say to you, so-and-so needs you to take your joy that spurs you to thanksgiving, and they need you to teach them joy. Donna, you shared about that young man struggling. He's going to give it a shot. You didn't mean to be Jesus to him, but you were. God is going to take our journey and tell us when it's time to activate in reaching out to someone. I think that's what God did with those 10 lepers. Now notice the rest of the story though with those who had suffered from leprosy. Jesus did not lay his hands upon them. Jesus did not declare some benediction or beautiful blessing above them. The scripture says Jesus looked at them and then told them this. Go find the priest and have the priest declare that you have been healed. There's every reason to believe that they heard Jesus say that and then they looked at their hands that used to have 10 fingers and now had 2 or 3. They looked at their feet, the toes were gone and they were walking on the stubs. They looked at the open sores of their body and they were still there. That it was not until they heard Jesus say, go to the priest and have him declare that you have been healed. And they went that they were healed. And I find that that's the way God works most often in my life. Before he shows up and does that basket full of asks that we give him, he wants us to join him in the journey. Wow! That God would want us to be there with him. Now, and I'm about through. I know our time's well gone. Bear with me. They go to the priest. The priest declares them cured. And then in the next episode, and was it 30 minutes later? Was it an hour later? Was it several hours later? We don't know. But at some point, Jesus and the disciples together are confronted by one of the lepers who no longer is sick. The incurable disease of that day, leprosy, was gone. He was made well. And the scripture says he fell on the ground before Jesus and gave thanks. And then Jesus asked the obvious question. And friends, he was not asking it for the leper to answer. He asks, were there not 10 of you? Where are the other 9? There was an etching done some time back. I want you to take a look at this, if you will. Do you see him there? Prostrate before God. Grateful. And by the way, the word is not prostrate before God. I hear that a lot. And one day I'll have a conversation of the difference, but not here. Prostrate before God, laying there face first, dust in his face, falling down there. And I love what it shows. Look, his hands out on the ground. He's giving thanks to God. But then Jesus says, where are those other 9? Can we see that other slide, please? Oh. There they are. Go back to that first, if you will. See them? They were there all the time. Were they evil? Were they filled with debauchery? Was there something just wrong in their character? No. They were doing what possibly around 90% of us, me included, would have done had we received the news they had received. They were jumping up and down. Their hands are in the air. They're grateful to God that they have been healed. But they forgot to thank the healer. And have I done any better? Have I received so many blessings and I'm grateful for? I really am. I like blessings. I don't like shots, but I really like blessings. Have I done any better? Once there were 2 angels. And in this legend, each day they would come to earth with their baskets. To receive the prayers of the people. And at the end of the day, one of the baskets was always overflowing. And one of the baskets was almost empty. Heavenly Father, in Jesus' name, teach us the joy of gratitude. And teach us the responsibility of thankfulness, that if we are thankful, you're probably going to send us to some people who need to have their lights turned on. The light of their soul, the light of their mind, the light of their lives. And in some cases, Lord, we need to help those who need the lights in their houses turned on. Oh God, teach us the joy of thanksgiving, which is never fully found until we share it. We always pray in the name of the one who saved us, Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.